This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson joins us in studio, and change gears here a little bit and turn to macaca, because you wrote about that recently. What was your take on that?
Well, you know, I've been a UVA football fan since well before George Allen was quarterback at UVA. And one of the things UVA football teams have a habit of doing is if they get a lead, they sometimes let their opponents back into the game. And I think that's what George Allen has done here. He had a big lead, and it was not looking very good for James Webb, the Democratic challenger in this race. But George Allen changed that two Fridays ago with his remarks down in the Brakes Interstate Park on the Kentucky line when he picked on this UVA fourth-year student.
Yeah, yeah. And clearly there were two key things in what he said. He said he used the word macaca in a sort of to put him down and use this kid as the brunt of a joke. He literally said macaca or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He was sort of writing him off as this is one of those people that supports my opponent.
Yeah.
And you look at him and this is the kind of person
that supports. Now that's not a common racial slur in this country, but it is in Europe.
Yeah.
And it is where George's mother is from in Tunisia. She's French Tunisian. And it's a word that George very possibly could have heard around the house growing up.
Right. And in parts of Europe, it's just as bad as the N-word is in parts of America.
Oh, it leads to headbutting in soccer contests.
So he used that word. And then he also said, welcome to America. But if you listen to the tape, he was actually, and I really believe this because I've listened to it many times, and there's a parts where he talks over a bunch of applause. And he says, you go back and show this videotape to, he says your opponent, he means my opponent, and Jim Webb, and let him see what life is like out here in the real Virginia, and welcome to the real world here, Jim Webb, is basically what he's saying. I didn't personally get that he was saying to S.R. Siddharth, welcome to America. But I guess it's up for debate.
Yeah, it's debatable what he meant, and it's debatable that that he had no idea that macaca was a racial slur.
Right, right. And how is this shaken out? I mean, the most recent Rasmussen poll, which is a statewide poll.
Five points. I mean, they've let, like many UVA football team, they've let their opponent back in the game.
Which always seems to happen in the fourth quarter, doesn't it?
Well, you know, in this case, it does look like this is going to be a competitive race, and I couldn't have said that a month ago.
Yeah. Do you think it was the macaca remark that did it, or is it just Jim Webb getting out there more, or did Allen screw up in other ways? Or?
No. It's mostly the constant discussion of this incident now, 9 days ago. Because George Allen has endured a political feeding frenzy on the internet, in the national media, in the television media in Washington, in every newspaper, every daily paper in Virginia has had multiple stories about this, and many thousands of people, I think it's up to 80,000, have seen this now on YouTube, so they've seen George Allen point at this guy, and say, William Macaca, whatever his name is, let's welcome him to America. The spirit of George's remarks, whether you accept his explanation of the words that he used or not, seems to be something that says a great deal about the speaker.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, as we do every Monday afternoon, and always look forward to that. We are going to take a quick break and continue this discussion on the other side. We're back in two. We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, as we do each Monday afternoon, for an update on politics. Bob, there was an editorial in the Daily Press about the macaca incident that really hit home with me and really spoke to me. It quotes Jennifer Duffy of the Washington-based Cook Political Report. She told the Richmond Times-Dispatch that she thought that what Allen did was more xenophobic than racist. In other words, this was more about an appeal to the cultural preferences of the audience. The young man, who happens to have been born and raised in Virginia, was simply a target of an opportunity, a chance to make a point that Allen often makes about the quote-unquote real America and real Virginians, and who doesn't qualify, Alan being, of course, the self-appointed arbiter of such distinctions, he was saying, and this is you can't argue this because he said this. This was his whole point of the Macaca remark. This is real America. This is real Virginia. And where you're from, whether you're Jim Webb or S.R. Siddharth or Macaca, I don't care, I put you in an unreal Virginia.
Well, you know, Eugene Robinson, the Washington Post columnist, had a similar view in his column last Friday in the Post, which we have in today's Daily Progress. And one paragraph, one sentence I quoted in the column on Sunday was Robinson saying Alan was delivering a clear message that I'm with you, I'm one of you. We all understand that guy over there with the camera is not one of us. He's just a macaca whose real name probably has a lot of awkward syllables and isn't worth learning to pronounce. There is a debate ongoing in Virginia political circles as to, you know, how xenophobic these remarks may have been.
Yeah, in the urban world of Washington, D.C. or behind the Beltway, that's not real Virginia. That's not real America. And the world of immigrants is not real America.
George Allen, I've covered every single campaign George has run, and George Allen has a habit, and it's worked for him in the past, of campaigning against Washington. Now he is Washington. He is official Washington. He's part of the majority party in the U.S. Senate, but he likes to campaign against Washington. He's campaigning against the Senate's immigration reform legislation. He's campaigning against, you know, it really is an interesting political move to watch an insider campaign as an outsider.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Thomas Jefferson did the same thing when he left the Washington administration and came home to Monticello and started talking about those Federalists in Washington that we need to take down.
Yeah,
and said, "I'm just a farmer."
Yeah. Now George has always called them Federales, and you know he's had a lot of success campaigning against the excesses of Washington. Except now the excesses of Washington are being perpetrated by different people.
Yeah, and of course he has clearly aligned himself with the administration, so it's really, I would think it would be very hard for him to argue I'm somehow separate from those that are in charge in Washington right now.
Yeah, I was on a Washington radio station last week with Congressman Davis of Northern Virginia, and Tom was saying that this is going to be a footnote, that this is not going to derail the Allen campaign. He may very well be right. You know, this is something that happened in the middle of August. Everybody knows George, and everybody knows what George said. That said, I don't think it fundamentally drives his supporters away. What it does is it may raise some doubt and may open the door for the other guy. And you know, that makes it a more interesting race because, frankly, 3 weeks ago, Jim Webb was not on very good ground in terms of his fundraising.
I
think his fundraising has come on since then.
Yeah, and the news back then, of course, before Macaca, was the fact that Jim Webb didn't have any money.
Yeah.
That, you know, George Allen has $12 million, Jim Webb had one and spent most of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, now Clinton is on with Webb to help raise money for him. President Clinton.
So George was just being a good sport. He was taking his boot off the guy's neck and letting him up and letting it be a fair fight.
Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress is with us in studio. What is the latest from the 5th District race? Virgil Goode versus Al Weed. Thank you.
Al Weed stumbled last week in denying something that he should not have denied. He had a phone conversation with Delegate Barney Day, former Delegate Day of Patrick County.
Democrat.
Yeah. And Al had called Barney, and they discussed having some sort of letter-writing campaign for letters to the editors and having the prize be a lunch in Charlottesville with Barney Day. Now, this is perfectly fitting because Barney Day is a very colorful writer. He's really a great writer. And, you know, Al figures he's going to be a great person to have as a prize lunch. The only problem is that they were discussing, according to Barney Day, who could write the nastiest letter against Virgil Goode.
Yeah.
And when Barney Day came out with that, Al Weed denied it. And in his credibility, I think, took a little bit of a hit there.
And so...
He later said, yes, we did have that conversation. I didn't mention the word nasty.
Why did Barney Day come forward with this at all? What was the motivation there?
I think he was not pleased with being given that role as, the bait in a contest to see who could win lunch with him in Charlottesville for writing a nasty letter. He doesn't view that as necessarily the up-and-up way to campaign.
So, You know, Al Weed already ran and made mistakes and lost. You would just think that he would have been really ready to run again and not make any mistakes, and he's had all this time to prepare. And
you know, one thing Tom Davis said, the congressman from Northern Virginia, that I had to agree with fully on Thursday when we were on radio in Washington, is that the parties don't have the power anymore. The power is in the interest groups that raise the money for these campaigns. And what we have is a bunch of very hard partisans on one side, controlled by the interest groups of that party, and a bunch of very hard partisans on the other side. And, you know, it's like the number of moderates in the Congress is down to 6% now in the House of Delegates because of redistricting and because the parties no longer have the role. The parties are not the people that they used to be in terms of controlling the campaigns, the dialogue, the issues. These guys now are raising money from hard-charging partisans on their side, and they get into this spirit of, well, let's go after the other side and let's get a little nasty, because that's the way they feel. It's very, you know, competitive, partisan politics. Well, you know, that isn't necessarily bad. You like to see contrasts, but I think sometimes it helps to have groups in the middle that sort of steer the conversation toward the voters.
And they have been pushed out.
They no longer have the role that they once had. The League of Women Voters doesn't sponsor debates anymore the way it did because the candidates feel they can ignore the League.
Yeah. Well, they made the mistake of allowing Perot into that national debate.
And I think I think I've read that Virgil Goode has not responded to a League request for a debate. Virgil wants a certain number of debates and not more than that. And yeah. Al Weed, being the challenger, wants more.
Right. So you think we're getting to a point where the moderates will take back the parties, or the moderates will form their own independent party? Or
this year is going to be a real test. What's happening in the congressional midterm elections is going to be unusual this year. I think usually, you know, 98% of the incumbents get reelected.
Yeah.
I don't look for 98% to get reelected this year.
Interesting. Well, we'll watch that. Bob Gibson is the political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, joins us every Monday. This interview will be archived in its entirety at SevillePodcast.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.